much. It's wonderful, wonderful. And when you read the Lord's Prayer, our Father, that word Abba is really Daddy. It's an intimate term. So how great to hear this song today. And thanks so much. It's Father's Day. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Would all the fathers please stand where you are? I see some fun. Yeah, there we are. And God bless you. Now I invite you to join me in the reading of the Old Testament lesson from Psalm 38, beginning with the verse number 4 and then verses 8 through 22. Now let us give faithful attention to the reading of God's Word. This is a psalm of David. My guilt has overwhelmed me. It's from his sin, like a burden too heavy to bear. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light is gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin, and all day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. May God bless us as we seek to understand his word and worship in his presence. Can any one of us live an entire life without regret? Is it possible to live without any regrets? I think not. Can we live in such a way that when we remember the past, we store up only the good memories from that past? Can we live in a way that the challenges and the heartbreak and the heartaches of life are more often than not forgotten and left in the past? Can we selectively strain out the painful realities of life and just remember what is good? Perhaps, I think. Perhaps if we have identified our failures and have learned from them and have moved on to better things, it's possible. I believe we can let go of more of the darkness in our lives if we would pray authentic prayers of confession, perhaps more often. Including authentic prayers of confession in our toolbook of life will help us separate ourselves from our self-inflicted scars and sins that we commit. I believe that confession can move us away from piling up regret after regret after regret. A nurse, Bronnie Ware, has counseled the dying in their last days, caring for them in their last 12 weeks of life, and she has written about and revealed the most common regrets that we have at the end of our lives. And she put her observations into a book titled The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. Ware writes of the phenomenal clarity, she says, people gain at the end of their lives and what we might learn. She says people grow a lot when they're faced with their own mortality. And when you're questioned about regrets or things that they had that they would do differently, she said there were 5 common themes that surfaced. No mention of not bungee jumping. But here are the 5 top regrets that she noticed people have when they reach the end of life. Number 1, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that other people expected of me, not the life other people put upon me. We all have dreams, don't we? But as we move through life, some of those dreams tend to fade away, and some people let them all go. But what can we do now? While we're still alive, while we still have health to live, we can think about those dreams. And how would God have us move into some of them? I think of Matthew Quick, an associate pastor, previous church that I work with, and we invited to come. And I worked with Matt for 5 years, and he had gone through seminary and everything, was a very good pastor. And after about 2 or 3 years at the church, he said, "You know, I know that I can do this. And my family pushed me in that direction, and so I went in the direction, went off to seminary and all of that. But I don't sense a calling to be a pastor all my life. What I sense a calling to do is to be a doctor." And so he went back to school part-time and began to take the chemistry and biology and the science courses that he needed. And then he took the MCATs. And by 33 years of age, he was a doctor, sensing God's call. And that's what he's been doing. I wished I had the courage to live a life true to myself and God's calling. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Really, I wish I didn't work so much, too much. This is especially common among men, but now that there's so many women in the workforce and women with vibrant and very good careers at all levels of management, it's something that everyone faces in the workaday world. And sometimes some people realize too far late in life that they've missed much of their children's growing up and companionship with their spouse. What can we do now? We can make a change. We can simplify our lifestyle, be more intentional about what gets on our calendar. Third regret, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Now, there are some people that just never say what they're thinking. They just keep the peace and they keep quiet. Now, there are other people that always say what they're thinking and want to win every conflict and every disagreement. And those who want to die in 1,000 hills, kind of irritating when you're with them all the time and they're always, you know, their way, their way, their way, their way. But on the other hand, there are people that are just the opposite. They go along and they never truly express what's in here, and then bitterness and resentment can build up. What can you do? Be honest with who you are and ask God to lead you into speaking up more often. There's a very interesting assessment called the Thomas Kilman Conflict Assessment, and people take this assessment and it identifies 5 different ways to handle conflict. For example, competing, always win, I've got to win, collaboration, compromising, and a few others. And then there's one that's accommodating. Accommodating is when you can have it your way. I want to please you. And I've seen scores of students where, out of all those 5, 95, 99% they were accommodating. And I think that's who she's speaking to here. They need some courage to be more assertive and express who they are. Fourth regret, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Friends and family are our greatest blessings, and in the final weeks of life, I've seen it over and over again, when the chips are down, friends, family, those relationships are so important. What can we do now if we've neglected those relationships? We can decide to do better. And then finally, she's also noticed people said, I wish I had let myself be happier. And Bronnie Ware says, happiness is a choice. It's something that many people don't realize until they're dying, and perhaps fear of change or doing something different can stifle us. What can we do now? We can laugh. We can invite joy into our lives. Life is a choice. It's your life, my life. Bonnie Ware says, choose consciously, choose wisely, choose honestly, choose well. And I would add, we should choose to pray more authentic prayers of confession and let go of regret let go of pain and move into the life God has more for us. Psalm 38 is an authentic outpouring of confession on the part of David. It's one of seven confession psalms collected in the 150 psalms in that book. And we've been focusing on prayer the last 3 weeks. 2 weeks ago in week one of the prayer series, Dale reminded us that prayer is the invitation of God. Prayer is about entering a relationship of communication and communion. God invites us to himself. God welcomes us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God loves us so much. Last week I shared one method of prayer. Four areas: pray for the world, pray for the church, pray for others, pray for yourself and your family. And through those four areas, give thanks, pray for the challenges, and then listen to what God has to say. And I encourage us to pray kingdom prayers. In our prayers to include more than prayers for ourselves and our health and those around us. And so pray for the world, the church, others, yourself, and your family. As I talked about this with my good wife Leslie does it just the opposite. Isn't that interesting? And we still live together. She starts with herself and her family, and then she prays for others, and then she prays for the church, and then she prays for the world. I think that's great. And today I would suggest and encourage that we add authentic prayers of confession to our prayer life. Lord, I'm sorry. I should not have done this. I shouldn't have said this, or I did not do this, or I did not say what I should have. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Very simple prayer. And I think that regret would less pile up in our life if we prayed prayers of authentic confession. And we can pray those prayers anytime. Authentic confession is about humility, honesty, and hope, I believe. Confession involves humility. It's admitting that we messed up, we were wrong, we need help. Now, today is Father's Day, and think about being a parent. Any perfect parents out there? Raise your hand. We'll be lining up to talk to you. We don't want your advice. You can believe it. And as I look back, you know, and even now, over the years, I know that I've not been a perfect parent, and there are times when I've apologized to my kids. When I've been dumb and dopey and too angry or hurtful or just not been the father I should be. And when your kids are little, they just think you're perfect. But once they get about 5, 6, 7, 8, they begin to notice that, mom and dad make mistakes too. And if we apologize and ask forgiveness, that's a good model. It teaches them that it's okay not to be perfect. People make mistakes, and they ask for forgiveness and say they're sorry and all of that. Confession involves humility, and we see the humility of David in this psalm. David is harassed from without. He's harassed from within. He has sinned. He's fallen short of the life of faith and love and what God desires, and he's ill. His friends have deserted him. Others are speaking ill of him. He's a king, and his enemies are thinking about taking advantage of this situation. Bottom line, he assesses the situation. He knows that he has sinned. He knows his shortcomings and his mistakes that he has made, and he is distressed and admits his fault. And as he reflects upon his life and his failures and being faithful to God and fair to his people, he feels that his sins, his shortcomings are so heavy, they are suffocating him. It's just crushing him. And there's a lot of pressure on him. David is troubled in his conscience, and it weighs down upon him, and so he admits it all. He pours it out to God here in this psalm, displaying great humility. Confession has to do with humility. Confession also has to do with honesty. And not too long ago, I was talking with a person that had been in jail. And the person said, I was really irritated and angry when I first got there. But the more I thought about it, it was my choices, my fault. And I'm glad I came to that realization. So I owned up. How great it is today to be with people who realize that they're not perfect and they're able to be honest about their failures and their shortcomings, own up, learn, and move on. There was a time in our society when many of our leaders, and whether it was business education, church, politics, whatever, there was a common understanding that when you made a mistake, you would apologize. Get right out there, be honest about it, be open about it, and then you can move on and recover. But now there's a strategy among some of our leaders that's a different strategy. And some folks are advising a different kind of strategy. Never admit any fault. Don't express it. Don't apologize. Instead, attack the person that's criticizing you. Immediately go on the attack and malign their person. Attack who they are. Start saying what's wrong with them. And move on. I'm not sure that's good for our society. David here honestly expresses his sinfulness, his feebleness of life. He leaves his cause with the Lord. He faced the facts about his sins and shortcomings. They hit him right between the eyes, and there was no pretense, no turning a blind eye, no blaming someone else, no making excuses. There's just the frank acknowledgement, a sincere sorrow and grief. He's an open book to God. How good to see his sheer honesty. And so confession is about humility, it's about honesty, and finally, authentic confession is about hope, and that's so good because when we confess our sins, God promises to forgive us. And through it all, David trusted in the Lord. He pleads to God for mercy and steadfast and enduring love and forgiveness. David was in an extremely difficult position. Others sought to take him down. They assaulted his character and his person. But notice David doesn't lash out or seek revenge. David waits for the Lord. David gives it all to God to answer. And we remember that Jesus was silent before his accusers. He left his cause, his case in God's hands, as does David. And so David appeals to God for help and for mercy. And it isn't good to see in the scriptures, Old and New Testament, that God wants to forgive, God wants to heal, God wants to save and renew and rebuild our lives. We see it in David. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer. Lord, my God, come quickly to help me, my Lord, my Savior, or my salvation. And we see this with Jesus on the cross, forgiving the thief as he dies a terrible, suffering death. And then from the cross, Jesus also says, to those who crucify him, he prays to God, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, because God is so ready to forgive. No matter what we have done. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, to bring hope and love and forgiveness. And when Jesus begins his ministry, as far as Matthew, Mark, and Luke are concerned, we see that same note of forgiveness. Jesus comes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, and what does he say? The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, why ask people to repent? You only ask people to repent if you are willing and ready and able and eager to do what? To forgive them, to love them, to give them a better life. And that's what God does. Authentic confession is tied to hope because God truly wants to forgive us. All we need to do is ask. And authentic confession is tied to hope because when there is authentic confession in our lives, we will have less regrets when there is repentance. Confession and repentance close together. Repentance is the change of mind. A change of heart that results in a change of behavior, a change in choices, and a change in life. When there is repentance and confession, We can leave regrets behind. And that's where we started today a few minutes ago. Life is a choice. It's your life and my life. Choose consciously. Choose wisely. Choose honestly. Choose well. The Bible tells us authentic confession is a wise choice. In authentic confession, we find rest in the forgiveness of God. Just take some humility, some honesty, and then resounding hope will fill our lives. So I encourage you, as I encourage myself, let's pray more prayers of confession. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you open yourselves to us. You love us in spite of what we do and say or leave undone or unsaid. You just love us and are ready to forgive. So, Lord, let us open ourselves to you, that your forgiveness and hope will splash through our lives. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.